بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم.
For the brothers and sisters who keep the Quran and maintained it, those are hafiz. I am a brother who did memorize the Quran, but I fell off. And as we move, it's a different dynamic. It's completely different. It's just love.
Alhamdulillah.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير.
بسم الله الحمد لله السلام عليكم greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm your host, and my next guest went from memorizing the Quran. This is a living miracle for anyone who takes a look. It is a living miracle, and he was the one carrying it. And then he drifted off, ended up in the clubs, in the nightclubs. Dunya took over. Now he's on the Deen Show. We want to hear his story when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Deen Show.
Mohsin Kaysen.
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. How you doing, my brother?
I'm fantastic.
So you were just reciting for the not yet Muslims out there who are tuning in for the first time. And they're hearing you reciting something so beautiful, melodious. What were you reciting?
Alhamdulillah. The surah that I was reciting was the last page of Al-Baqarah, the last two ayats of Al-Baqarah. I just love that surah. My father used to recite it all the time as a kid, when I was a kid. So,
now your father, he was so passionate about Islam. So your father actually started off. I was going to ask you, were you a Christian before, a Buddhist, a Hindu? And you were like, no, I was Muslim.
Born and raised Muslim.
Born and raised Muslim.
Yep. Born and raised Muslim.
But then your father was a Christian, right?
My father was a Christian. My grandmother, my father, and my grandfather, they were in the churches. And my father was in the church as well. I believe he didn't start. He started back in the nation. That's where, I guess, you know, for African-American Muslims, we didn't have a lot, especially coming from slavery. In order to change ourselves, the Nation of Islam was a beautiful thing for a lot of black Muslims. But as my father learned more about Islam and learned more about what Islam was, he became Sunni Muslim. And when I was born, he was fully transitioned into full Sunni Muslim.
Now, he had such a passion and love for the deen, for this way of life, that he wanted you to memorize the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little about that. What age did you start memorizing the Quran?
So I don't remember actually learning how to read Quran or read Arabic. I just knew how to read it when I was younger. My father, that's the only thing he did. He always recited. He always wanted me to recite. He always recited in front of us. And he learned that I had a good memory when I was younger. So when I turned 12, I started memorizing the Quran. And 3.5 years later, I was 15 and a half. I finished the Quran, alhamdulillah.
Now, when I opened up the program, I was like, okay, you know, people can't imagine a lot of times, okay, this is a young boy, memorized the Quran, but then his life took a different turn. Ended up in the nightclubs, dunya took over.
Completely different.
So it went from the deen to the dunya.
To the dunya.
What happened?
Hard.
I'm sure this is we see this happening a lot now.
A lot, and this happens to especially children who grew up in Islam. Mm. I think as we grow up in Islam, we don't appreciate, because I can't blame it on my parents, because my parents did the best they can. And as Muslims, we don't really, as kids, we don't appreciate what we actually have. And also with parents, they'll have. I believe that sometimes we are too hard on our children, and we don't let our children really understand and love Islam like we're supposed to. So as we get older, we kind of drift away because it's kind of too harsh, or it's like too strict. And as we get out into the world, especially in the dunya got a lot of sparkly things. And when you get into the dunya and you see those sparkly things, sometimes you want to touch something. Sometimes you want to do whatever. So that's unfortunately, but I won't say unfortunately. Fortunately, that's what happened to me. And I say fortunately because now that I have a daughter and now that I'm a husband, I really appreciate Islam. Like, truly, I truly appreciate Islam and what it has done for me.
All right, so without going into any details of your past, just for the sake of others who are out there, the Mediums, the Aishas, the Suleymans, the Hamzas, the Isas, you know, so they don't have to go ahead and take that turn and experiment, because some people, they might end up never coming back. You were blessed that you ended up coming back to the Deen. Some people get lost. Drug addiction, suicide.
I have a bunch of friends who that happened to.
So what advice, or give us a glimpse, okay, because in the beginning you get in and it's very tantalized. You get in and you're just like a kid in a candy store, you know what I mean? So what were some of the things that you were doing, some of the things that you were involved in, and then now comparing it to where you are now, the feeling that you have now and the feeling that you had at that time. Obviously, it kept you going, but then that faded, right? So let's contrast both.
Well, the same thing, like you said, a candy store. When you go into a candy store, everything looks all good. But when you start eating too much candy, you start to get tired of candy. You start to be like, all right, this is enough. And you start to feel like crap. And that's how I felt. I felt worthless. I felt like dead inside. I felt like, you know, everything was fun. But as I got older, it was no purpose. It was like, what am I doing? And so, you know, I'm a bouncer. I'm a security guard. I'm seeing all this nightlife and things like that. But
so you actually start working in the club also.
I was working in the clubs. I was then partying in the clubs. I was so literally I was in the clubs every day, and it wasn't until I went to the masjid and one of the sheikhs, Imam Fatim. That is a good brother. Shout out to him. But Imam Fatim asked me to lead the prayer, and I felt bad. I was like, lead the prayer? I was like, nah, I can't. He made me lead the prayer. I led the prayer, but.
So you didn't you were still connected to the masjid somehow?
Yeah, because people know my father. So,
Were you kind of living a double life here?
That's exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
So even though I stayed away from the masjid, online, I wasn't telling people what I was doing. And I wasn't taking pictures and a bunch of stuff, taking videos and showing everybody what I was doing. I was doing it, and I was kind of staying a little quiet about it. You know, people who were around me knew what I was doing, but for the most part,
you concealed your sins.
I concealed my sins.
So that's a good point here, that people, if you're going to end up slipping up, don't go and magnify your sins.
Don't go tell everybody. It's no point. You're telling everybody, so that means now you have witnesses on the Day of Judgment. But for the people who are out there, man, it's the dunya is a enticing and it's mesmerizing for right now. But as you get older, it just starts to fade away and it starts to get dull. And I just didn't want to do that anymore. But as far as my father, everybody knew who my father was. So I was watched a lot, and I appreciate that. But I was watched a lot, so I made sure I kept that life away from my father. So, alhamdulillah, I was able to live a little double life. And then when I got back to another story. I didn't even tell you this. How about this? I go to a masjid one day, and it was in Ramadan. And subhanAllah, I went to school in Baltimore. I see both my teachers there, both my hafiz teachers there.
These are the teachers that taught you the Quran.
Yes. Sheikh Hussein, Brother Muhammad. Sheikh Hussein walks up to me. Mohsen, are you reviewing? I lied to him. Yeah, I'm reviewing. Lying. My other brother comes up to me. Mohsen, how's your Quran? Oh, it's great. Ironically, both of them tell me, go ahead and lead. go ahead and lead the prayer. Yeah. And subhanAllah. The same ayah that I recited just now is the same ayah I recited then, and I messed up. And that's when they said, brother, you gotta stay on it.
So you had totally gone away from even reciting the Quran?
I
prayer. You weren't praying. You were
no prayer, no Quran, no nothing. It was crazy.
So how did you feel? I mean, now obviously you've established, you know, the daily five daily prayers, mm-hmm. you know, the five pillars. That feeling that you get now, you know, the contentment, the peace, you know, living your purpose mm-hmm. as opposed to totally abandoning it. So so Aisha, Hamza, Suleiman, all the other Isa, all the other Muslim kids are out there or becoming adults. They don't have to go down that route now. Boy, and experimenting. So no, what was
the experiment?
What was the feeling at that time and now?
Shoot, the feeling then was
emptiness. No purpose, empty.
Emptiness, literally emptiness, no purpose. Anytime you saw a Muslim, you felt bad. And anytime you kind of like hid your Islam. And now I'm unapologetically Muslim.
I see that. Yeah.
Listen, I'm Muslim. I'm wearing thobes everywhere. I don't care what's going on. I'm reciting wherever. If you ask me what it is, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing.
But do you see that because of that covering up, you know, the fitra now, you know, we have an innate disposition to worship our creator. It's instilled in us. And now you see what you're saying. You're living a double life. Your conscience is eating away at you. We see a lot of people, they end up covering it up so much and they want to get rid of the guilt. So mm-hmm. they even go to another extreme and they deny Allah. They deny the creator. They turn towards atheism. And have you seen that happen?
I see it happen a lot. Man, I got cousins. I got friends. You know what it is? Alhamdulillah, Allah gives you, you know, truly, when you really feel bad, that's a good thing. Don't take it as a bad thing. It's a really good thing because that means you actually feel sorry for what you're doing. You're not just telling people that you feel sorry and making, like, trying to, like, put it on this facade. You're actually feeling sorry, and that's what Allah wants. He wants forgiveness. He wants you to ask for forgiveness. He wants to bring you back. So when it comes to, okay, I feel bad, yes, feel that guilt. Feel it. Because guess what? As you get older and things like that, and as these situations happen again, oh, bro, you want to go out and drink and all that? Nah, I'm okay. Because you're already feeling bad. And it's like if you do something wrong in your house or something like that, disappoint your mom or something, and you already, if you really feel bad, you're not going to do it again. You're like, man, that made my mom feel really bad. And the same thing when it comes to this dunya, like, you know, man, yeah, I did all that stuff. It's cool, but, or it's fun at the time, but, you know, learning about Islam and things like that, it just makes you feel bad. So, especially for the children out there, for the young brothers who are out there, when it's time, well, your time to come back, that's when Allah is going to bring you back. But inshallah, always just try your best to just maybe slow down a little bit and then gradually just finish with it.
You spent a lot of time in Vegas also?
I spent a lot of time in Vegas. It was...
You lived there?
I lived there for 6 years.
And they call that, Sin City?
Sin City. It ain't Sin City for no reason.
Yeah?
Sure.
Is it a big Muslim community there?
It's a big Muslim community, but unfortunately, your environment is still Sin City.
Yeah?
Even though you can only stay away but so much. Because as you get older, you know, you turn 16, what do you want to do? You want to go hang out with your friends. Where are your friends going? Your friends are going to the club, your friends are seeing drinks, your friends are seeing partying every single night. It's just not a, I would say, you have good Muslims there, but it's not a place for Muslims.
So what helped you now finally come back? What was it, living the double life, you know, worrying about disappointing your father, a sign, you're given a sign, right? You go, how'd you end up at the masjid that day now? With the two, your two teachers were at that same masjid. How did you end up at that day? This is amazing.
Shoot, I was hungry.
You're honest.
I was hungry. I was just hungry. I was like, oh, I didn't feel like cooking dinner that day. And yeah. I was like, that was Ramadan. Yeah. So let me go to the masjid, go act like I'm Muslim for a little while and go get some food.
And look at Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty Allah, the Creator, having mercy on you. Look at that.
In the surah, I always say it, Surah Ali Imran, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. You plan, Allah plans, Allah. Truly, Allah is the best of planners. My plan was just go get some food and go. SubhanAllah, both my teachers are here from Baltimore, flying in just to hang out for a little while.
You got to really think. See, Allah sends those signs. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Allah sent boxing to me for this.
So talk to us about that. So you ended up, how did you end up coming back So you have these, and I'm sure there's other subtle signs, you know, some of them we see, some of them we don't. Maybe some, now you reflect, you're like, oh, okay. Because I usually compare it to like a person, if you're just, you know, speeding down the highway, the signs are all over. You get pulled over and they say, didn't you see it? No, you're going too fast. Mm-hmm. So you didn't see the signs. Life, we're going through life too fast. We're not paying attention.
Life moves fast.
Yeah, but now, were there any other signs? And what else helped you to bring you back that you're with us here today? Alhamdulillah.
Good people. Allah put good people in my life, kept good people in my life. And so I stopped wanting to lie and be a hypocrite all the time, because you had people who were looking at me, and because they didn't know my double life, they still were looking at Musa Nahafith. And then you had Mo, the guy who was selling drugs and the guy who was drinking. So you got literally two different lives. Like, it's just not, it's not cohesive for you. It's about just living that double life all the time. You just feel like a liar, literally every day. You try to hide everything. Your mom calls you. You at a party. You don't want to answer the phone. Now you gotta call your mom. That could be the time that your mom is sick. She calling you to tell you that she in the hospital, but you in the club, and you don't want to disappoint your mom. Anything, or how about this? You know, if you really think about it, what if I died in those states?
What if you died in the club?
Man, and I didn't think about it then. I think about it now. What if I would have died in that state, being drunk, being high, dancing with a girl, doing some whatever? Imagine if I would have died in that state, walked out of the club and got shot, or walked out of the club and got hit by a car, got in a car accident, had a heart attack. Anything could have happened. And crazy thing is now, like, man, thank Allah that I'm able to. He's given me just a little bit of time to try to repent. Try to do as much good as possible to try to get back whatever stupidity I did when I was younger.
How does this message get heard when you talk to some, you know, you probably met a lot of heavyweights in life, and I'm not talking about just literally heavyweights.
Just heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters, people who have a lot in life, you know, a lot of ballers, you call them, people who are very influential. You probably met a lot of different people. And have you gotten a chance to share your story, share your message, and how has it been received?
Sometimes you're able to share that message and people are receiving it. Sometimes the message is not for everybody. I will say the message is not for everybody, because Allah surrounds you with the people that you want to be surrounded by. And some people, how about this? I wouldn't say the message is not for everybody. I will say that my message, the way I have received it, is not for everybody.
Like when people hear you saying takbir, and they say, you say Allahu Akbar, means God Almighty is the greatest. Mm-hmm. And the person is just thinking like, what's he saying? You know, and then again, there's that button inside of all of us, that innate disposition. And when you start talking about the creator, you know, you're reciting Quran, you do it a lot, right? Has anybody approached you?
Yeah, people approach me. They're like, bro, what does it mean? Yeah. I have friends who do that. And I just tell them, like, yo, it just means thank Allah. Like, Allah is the greatest. And what I try to do is I try to make it very vague. Like, God is the greatest.
Yes.
Because when you say Allah, they're like, oh, it's like backup. And so just like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you have to approach situations with caution. And you have to approach situations with empathy. So the same guy that you can be like, yo, Allah is God, blah, 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 straight up, is not the same person for this. You have to say, listen, a higher entity that we believe in is God. We believe in that, and we prostrate to him, not because we have to, but because we want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a difference. Everybody's different. The Sahabas were different. Abu Bakr was completely different from Omar. And they were great. They are granted Jannah, but it's all about the approach.
So now we have Hafiz Muhsin, who came back to the Deen. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
On the Deen show.
On the Deen show. Alhamdulillah. I would have never, ever, ever in my life thought that I would be so proud to be Muslim until now. Now I'm just happy, because Allah gave me some time to accept. Just appreciate everything that I went through. So as far as like, I don't regret anything I went through. I feel bad, but I don't regret it, because I don't think I would be the person I would be without going through it. Because for Islam, for me, it was a culture when I was younger. And now it's a religion for me. Now it's...
This is really important because you have a lot of Muslims also who are going through Islam as a culture, yeah. right? This group of people have their religion. We have our... They have their culture, Christmas. And then they have the other holidays that come with their religion. Oh, we're mm-hmm. Muslim. We kind of go through the motions exactly. also. So that's what you were kind of doing. But now it's yeah. a way of life.
Exactly. And we are supposed to be different as far as being Muslim. Like, you got Christians. You got Jews. They drink. They smoke. Some of them do whatever. And they're not supposed to. And then when it's time for Christmas, all of the, now they want to go to church. They want to go to the mosque. They want to go everywhere. But then when you have... Islam, we are supposed to be different. We can't say we drink and smoke and everything, and then when it's Eid time, we want to put on a scarf or put on a thobe and be like, oh, you know, oh, I'm Muslim, alhamdulillah. No. We should be Muslim everywhere. We should be Muslim at all times. We should be unapologetically Muslim anywhere we go, because you never know who's looking at you. Mm-hmm. You never know who's looking at you. You never know whose life you could change just by being genuinely you.
What do you think when you see professional athletes and others who've been given the spotlight, but now they might be very, and I see this a lot, people who are representing their sport very well, but now, like you said, they're not unapologetically, they're apologizing for being mm-hmm. a Muslim, basically. They're very scared of their brand, of their image, to connect themselves with Islam. What do you think when you see that? And do you see that?
I do see that yeah. a lot. But everybody has a different path. That might not be their path. That might not be their journey. And some people are just not about their life. So, but they might do things that are different. So, like... they might not be unapologetically Muslim on TV, but they might be the best Muslim you might see in the street. They might be the one who feeds the homeless every day. They might be the person who buys somebody something at Walmart every single time they go to Walmart or something like that. They might be the person that gives da'wah, just not on TV.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, I guess being the person that I am, I'm kind of bold and I could care less what anybody thinks. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave me the platform, so I feel like I need to use my platform for good. I know what it was like to not use my platform
yeah.
for good. So now I know, like, I want my daughter to make sure that if when she sees me, she sees that I was Muslim, and she sees that I was a brave Muslim, and it was okay to make mistakes, and it was okay to do whatever you need to do, but at the end of the day, I was a Muslim and I was proud to be Muslim.
Yeah, I think this is very important, because in today's day and age, with a lot of the hate that's out there, trying to get people really to, because of all the misinformation, and it's kind of had women taking off their hijab, women getting attacked, Muslims scared to be Muslims, because of all the Islamophobia, because of all the hate machine, you know, it's a business nowadays, people getting rich in the business of attacking Islam. So now I think this is very important that, you know, we don't bend to that and bow to that,
no,
right? Because you should be proud, one who is submitted to the Creator, not the creation. You're living a morally upright life. You're good to your neighbor. You feed the poor. You're trying to be a good all-around human being. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Nothing to be ashamed of. And you also got to remember, man, people, when it comes to this, I guess, this era of, you know, demonizing Islam and just making sure that, you know, people, it's been going on for a very long time. Somebody's always demonized. Either you're black being demonized, you're Arab being demonized, you're Muslim being demonized. But as long as, you know, in hindsight, people see the truth. Because as much as you see on TV, the minute you walk outside and you see something different, you're like, huh, you wake up. But if somebody is seeing the same thing that you see on TV, then that's on you. And that's your test. That's what Allah put in front of you. Allah might have put that person that just sat on TV and watched a black man, me as a black man, do some drugs, shoot somebody, blah, blah, blah. And that's the only thing that they know. And then they see another Muslim. So now they see me, I'm Muslim, a black man. They probably like, oh, let me back up. But then they see I'm nice. I'm talking to them. I'm being kind. I'm being gentle. And I'm representing Islam right. I might have changed that man's life. Who knows?
Hafiz Mohsen Kaysen. Alhamdulillah. You were showing me some good techniques.
Ah, you were showing me some good techniques. Now I know how to wrestle. Now I know if I ever get into a scuffle. Hopefully I don't. I try my best not to. But if I get into a scuffle, I got you.
Yeah, usually you were holding the mitts up. Usually people hold them down here.
Oh, yeah.
Was there a different technique for that?
Holding the mitts up is because people don't understand that if you hold the mitts down, you know that's where you're going to punch. When you hold the mitts up, it's like a technique. Okay, I'm going to hold the mitts up. You might fight taller people. You might fight shorter people. But you'd rather do something big than do something like this. Yeah. Because when you do fight somebody big, you know exactly what to do. And your arms won't get tired.
Yeah.
So that's what I learned. My shout out to my coach, Rasheem Jefferson. He's a beautiful person in my life. So alhamdulillah, that's what he's taught me. Just jab up, making sure that a jab is strong.
Yeah. So. And that was nice. You picked up pretty quick. The single leg, you know, the clinch, you know, coming in.
You're a good teacher. Alhamdulillah. That's what it is. You're a good teacher.
Yeah, you're a good teacher also, man.
Alhamdulillah.
Good.
Yeah. That's it. We vibed with our Islam, our aura. It glows. So I have trust in you. You got trust in me. So as we move, it's a different dynamic. It's completely different. It's just love.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And that's the beauty of Islam. You know, that's, you know, people meet each other for the first time. They can be from any other country. Doesn't matter. They don't even have to speak the same language. They open up with their greeting of peace. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Mm-hmm. And that love is just established.
Does, you could be a garbage man. I could be shoveling horse manure. It does not matter. Just the fact that we love Allah and the fact that we love Islam and just a beautiful, it's a beautiful sight because that's what connects us. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's just beautiful. Bismillah. I want for you what you want for me, or you want for me what I want, what you want for your brother, what you want for yourself. And so when it comes to that, you just sharing this like unity. Doesn't matter where you are. So it doesn't matter where I go. I always meet people, and there are people who, if I wasn't Muslim, I would have never met. They are not in my profession. They have nothing to do. We don't even like the same things, but just because we're Muslim and I love the brother, we cool. Mm-hmm. That's my brother. Alhamdulillah, I love him.
Alhamdulillah.
Nothing to do with each other. Nothing in common either. I know one brother who's like an activist and kind of stays away from the limelight. I'm a boxer. That's what I do. I'm in the limelight. I do things like that. We would have never met if it wasn't for Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you got to appreciate. You, when you want something, Allah will give it to you. Allah will put you with the right people. And I always make this dua. May Allah please keep me away from the bad and push me towards the good. So when I see good people, I don't care what they do. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you are. It's a matter of who you are.
Mm-hmm. A few more questions. Tell me, how important is it for people to, again, when I asked you, you're going to have a Slurpee, smoothie, I'm sorry. You said make sure there's green in it. So nutrition. This is something that I've taken up, you know, really watching what I eat. You being an athlete, professional athlete, you know, how important is it for people to get involved in sports and also nutrition in your life?
So, very important. We got to stay healthy. Just like Allah says, you're supposed to take care of your body. Take care of your vessel. We can't take care of our vessel eating bad and working out. I mean, it's cool to indulge in whatever you need to. That's halal and things like that. But you have to have a balance. Islam is about balance. So as much as you eat junk food, you got to make sure you work that off. You got to make sure you eat some health. You know what I mean? Be healthy, eat some healthy things, and make sure that your health is good, because you want to make sure you have as much life as Allah allows you to. You know, of course, we can't stop unforeseen circumstances and unforeseen health issues. But if you have the resources and if you have the ability to stay in shape, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahabas, they stayed in shape. The Prophet didn't get into Islam until he was 40. These brothers were wrestling. They were getting ready for war. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had over 60 wars, you know, 60 battles. Sorry, like these brothers were in shape over 40. So 40 is not a old age; it's a young age. And alhamdulillah, we gotta stay in shape. We gotta be healthy for our children as well. Because when our children grow up and our children want to go outside and play and things like that, we can be like, no, I'm tired because it's my fault. No, I got to be healthy and I got to want to play with my children and things like that. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, this is very, very, very important. We got an obese epidemic of people obese, getting fat on the couch, not moving, sitting in a cubicle, not involved in any kind of physical activities.
Get out, go walk.
Eating fake food. Yeah.
And it's crazy because, subhanAllah, Allah just puts these things in your life just to get away from all of this. Because when you eat the biha, you kind of stay away from a lot of this stuff. You stay away from McDonald's. You stay away from a lot of these fast food places because not the biha. Even though I eat halal, I don't eat just the biha. I stay away from that stuff too. But for the brothers and sisters who can't stay away from, well, you go to the biha and you only do halal, most of the time you're going to end up eating fish or you're going to end up eating some a veggie meal or something like that. And you'll be able to, you know, kind of eat healthier, but also, you know, take a walk after Fajr, you know, take a right after the sunrise, right after you finish your recitation or your dhikr, take a walk when the sunrise is really nice outside. If you're a night owl, take a walk after Isha, take a walk with your wife, take a walk with your father, you know, stay healthy, because when it's time to stand up for tahajjud, you're standing up for tarawih, gotta be healthy for that. Can't be sitting down, you know. Of course, for our elders and for our people who are disabled, that's what Allah has given us, alhamdulillah, and may Allah bless them. But for the people who are able to be healthy and for the people who are able to stand. So that's why we stay in shape.
Alhamdulillah. So as we close it up, tell us, for the people who are tuning in and they might have drifted off, kind of like you did, and now they're tuning in, what advice would you give them? Before they go away even further, but you got their attention. They heard you reciting the Book of Allah, the Quran. They're listening to your story, how you came back. What advice would you give them?
Islam is not a race. It's a marathon. Also, Islam is not anybody else's... your Islam is not anybody else's entertainment. Your relationship with Allah is your relationship with Allah. And so what the best thing to do is try to get back. You don't have to go cold turkey because that's how people lose themselves again. Gradually, slowly, get back to praying. Get back to saying dhikr. Shoot, if you don't even say salamu alaikum, get back to saying salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always try something better. So you might be out. Trust me, I was out there. And alhamdulillah, I was able to come back. So for the brothers who are out there and the sisters who are out there and just trying to figure out something, start hanging around people who do this something different. I promise you, it'll start changing because they won't want to do the stuff that you want to do. You surround yourself with people who love Islam. You surround yourself with people who love the way to be a Muslim. They love the Islam. They love the process. Hang around those people. I promise you, you won't be thinking about doing anything else.
Get around good companionship.
Yes,
very important.
You are who your companions are.
Absolutely.
Or birds of a feather flock together.
Yes.
However you want to say it.
Uh-huh. All right. Hafiz, Mohsin, Kaysen, really nice having you on the Dean Show.
You don't even have to call me Hafiz, man. You know what's crazy? For the brothers and sisters who keep the Quran and maintained it, those are Hafiz. I am a brother who did memorize the Quran, but I fell off. And inshallah, please pray for me that I get all the Quran back.
Amen.
And inshallah, that's when I can call myself Hafiz. But I can't take that title from the people who have never drifted off. And maybe they forget a little bit, but they hold on to the Quran tightly. Those are my true Hafiz. And so for me, I'm a brother who memorizes the Quran. Alhamdulillah, I have the Quran with me, but I'm getting it back. And when I do really get it back, that's when I can be called a half of the game.
We started with the Quran. We'll end with the opening chapter of the Quran. So if you're not yet Muslim out there, go ahead and listen to this with an open heart and open mind and earnestly within yourself. Ask the creator of the heavens and earth for guidance and listen to this. Listen to it. And you can actually start reciting it too. Go ahead. Let's start with it.
And for the people who only speak English and don't know what I'm saying, I'll do it in English as well.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. This is the opening chapter of the Quran, Al-Fatiha.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, Master of the Day of Judgment. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. Show us the straight path, the path of those whom you have worshipped, not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor of those who have gone astray. And when we say Ameen at the end, it's the same thing as Amen. It's the same thing as a Amen. It means thank you know Amen. It's a finishing. May Allah accept our dua. May God accept our dua.
Ameen. Thank you, brother. It's a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
May God Almighty Allah continue to bless you.
Ameen. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.